The following tape recording was made December 5th, 1957, and includes an interview with gentlemen who witnessed an unidentified flying object. At this time, I'll ask these gentlemen to introduce themselves.
John Wysocki, Detroit UFO Research Group. Al David, same thing.
Al Rowe, Detroit UFO Research Group.
Lyle Lass, 696 West Maple, Adrian, Michigan.
What was the locality of your observation, Lyle?
Approximately 7 miles southwest of Adrian on M-34.
Would you care to describe the weather conditions at the time?
Well, it was a real dark night. As a matter of fact, there were not any stars shining, rather cloudy. Weather conditions, dry, no rain. As to the wind, I couldn't be too sure of
that. Well, what time was this?
If I remember correctly, that would have been around between 7:30 and 8 o'clock in the night.
Would you give us some of your background? That is your occupation, your place of employment.
My occupation is an ambulance driver, mortuary assistant.
I see. And what about your education background at that time?
10 years.
I see.
Were you in the military service?
No, I wasn't.
How long did you see the object?
We had the object in sight approximately 2 hours, give or take a little either way.
And when you say we, now who else along with you at the time was the object?
With me was Deputy Harold Smith of the Ludwig County Sheriff's Department. Or I should say I was with him.
And you witnessed this object while you were in a patrol car?
That's right.
Was there only one object?
One object.
One object. And how did you happen to first how was your attention drawn to the object?
Well, we were traveling west on M-34, and you make a sharp left turn and it goes straight south. And I looked out the window and I noticed something red hanging there or in the sky, and I didn't pay too much attention to it at first, and I looked again. I asked Deputy Smith, what the heck is that over there? He looked. He said, well, it looks like a reflection maybe in the windshield. And I said, well, what the heck could be reflecting out here? There's nothing to reflect. Well, he says, you're right. And he looked a little bit more. And he says, gosh, he says, I don't know why you should search an airplane. This, I don't think so. We then stopped the patrol car and got out. We observed the object. Appeared to us to be just, maybe the height of the trees. And as we observed the object, it raised sort of on a vertical position and then started away at sort of a high speed. At that time, it was traveling in a southwesterly direction. We weren't too sure what we were seeing. And contacted the Hudson Police Department to have it confirmed. And they also spotted the object, and at that time, they told us that it was cutting back north and then coming back east. At that time, there was another patrol car about that time. Gordon, they came out and also picked up the object.
And I believe you spotted it
on the northeasterly direction.
Yeah, I believe you said a little earlier that this object was quite bright, and you said that it was about like seeing a star.
That is at the end. That's when we stopped watching it. It looked like a bright star. It gained altitude.
I see. When it was close to the ground, however, and you were able to get a fairly close look at it, did it also appear at that time to be a bright light, or were you able to distinguish any definite outline?
We couldn't distinguish any outline. It was just a brown or a bright red light around the circular light.
Did it...
By that I mean a full light.
Yeah. Did you also mention that it changed color, or didn't it?
No, I didn't, but it did change color. It might be red, and it would change to white and then a blue or a bluish green. And we did notice as it came back in the northeast direction that it was leaving a sort of a reddish cloud.
Like some type of
trail, or I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah.
Like leaving a reddish gas in the sky.
Yeah, now what about the maneuverability of the object? Was it traveling slow, or did it change its speed at any time, direction, that sort of thing?
No, it seemed to be a pretty steady speed to me.
You didn't notice that it dropped anything?
No.
Did it change shape at all?
No.
The only change was in color.
That's right.
Did this object at any time pass in front of or behind it anything which might give you some idea or a comparison of size?
Did it all? No.
I see. You couldn't identify it in relation to buildings, trees, that sort of thing?
No.
You're sure, of course, this could not have been a weather balloon or any type of known vehicle?
No, I can't be sure of that. As I said, I seen the eyes in the sky, but I can't tell you what it was.
Yeah.
If I was to say it could be a weather balloon, but I'm telling you what it is, and I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm asking these questions is that in so many of the reports, there is always statements to the confusion of what this might have been or what it might not have been.
I'm not making any statement as to what it was. I'm only describing what it looked like in color and size.
Would you care to give any idea, any estimation of its size?
You mean at the time? I would say approximately how big it was, and yes. Well, as I described before, what it looked like at first was one of these, a red light on a radio tower. Maybe just a little bit bigger around.
Well, I guess that you observed this object first through the windshield of the car. Did you, at the later time, get out of the car to observe the object?
Yes, I stopped the car and got out from our...
And how about Al? Do you have any additional
questions? Was there a definite outline to it, or was it blurred, or was it...
No, it seemed to be just a bright red color. It didn't seem to be blurred at all.
How did this object disappear from your view?
It kept traveling in a northeasterly direction. We still had it in sight when we left. But at that time, it was rather small, as I said before, as last we seen it, it was more or less like a bright star, but it was still changing color.
Had it gained any altitude?
Oh, yes.
It had. I see. It didn't change speed, though, did it?
Or not? No, I wouldn't say it had. It's pretty hard.
You were following it. I see. When you were following it in a patrol car, approximately how fast at that time were you traveling?
Oh, golly, at one time we were up around 65, 70 miles an hour between here and the Tecumseh Valley in the northeast.
Have you seen any other objects that might be listed as, let us say, unidentified flying objects?
No.
What general area now, at the time you witnessed the sighting, was this in relation to Adrian? Was it on the northeast, south, or west side of the city?
It was on the southwest side of the city.
Well, I see we also have another gentleman here with us, Mr. Walker, who's judging the city in remarks.
Roger,
excuse me.
Well, by the time that they had seen it, we got out there, to me, this resembled. Let me say, start with what to me would be Venus. It's a large star in the sky with the white into the red, the white and the green light. And it did move. It was quite high. I don't know, wouldn't estimate the altitude, but it was traveling in the east, northeast direction. We followed between them down to, the end of our combine, which is over on the Monroe High Line, which is just east of Deerfield, about a mile.
Yes. Now, for purposes of identification here, Mr. Rogers, would you tell us your occupation and perhaps a brief statement as to your education and your background?
Well, I worked for Monterey County Sheriff's Department as a deputy sheriff for about 4 years. Graduated from high school. I have World War II veteran. Have about 19 years in military service and the president of the county command of National Guard in the town.
I think we've covered quite a bit of information here in detail on the object. How many witnesses or other people in the area would you estimate also saw it?
Well, Mr. Stewart here was with us in the car that I was in. Mr. Walter Stewart from the telegram, the prosecuting attorney was with us and his assistant. There was five in our car. There was two in their car with Mr. Wells. Tecumseh Police Department, I believe you saw it, if I remember right. Adrian Police Department had, I know, one car with a radio announcer from our local radio station with him. They saw it. They were on bypass distance south and a little bit west of Adrian here. They saw the same object. The Hudson Police Department, Officer Wise, he was looking at it too, but field glasses. He said it appeared to have light on the top of it, and he said, oh, red. And I believe there were also units. I can't remember outright, but it seems to me that Monroe County, or not Monroe, but Washington County, at the same time saw it, because we were talking back and forth on the police radio, and of course it takes in Washington County and Monroe County.
Yes. Mr. Rogers, was any of this information relayed to a filter center? In other words, was the Air Force notified of this?
It was.
I see.
By our radio dispatcher here in the office.
What were their remarks?
They made a remark, are you kidding? And seemed to be taken as a liar at that time. The way I was told, it's strictly hearsay. As far as I'm concerned, I didn't hear him make the statement.
There were no gentlemen from the filter center here to investigate?
No, not that I know of. They might have been after I went home or something like that, but I didn't hear any such people being here.
Yeah. Do you know of anyone in Adrian who might have witnessed the thing very close, let us say close to the ground?
No. There's a letter out here that was mailed in from Alton County, mailed in here to the, I forget the, they had a funny name written down as to who was mailed to, but, I can't tell you what the letter is now. The man claims that he saw something of the same sort. I'd have to look and see if I can find it in the records. The Mr. Stewart, when he first came in that night, he said to me, he says, have you seen any bright lights in the sky in the southwest? And I looked at him and laughed. I said, no, I haven't seen any that I know of. And he said that he had had a phone call from a friend of ours out on Airport Road, which after this was all over with, after we gave up following any further back, he called talk to this gentleman. He said that he hadn't called. In other words, somebody else called and used this man's name.
Well, I wonder if the other gentleman here would care to make some remarks. I missed your name.
You Stewart.
Walter Stewart. And you're from the Telegraph? Is that it?
Telegram.
Telegram.
Okay. Here in Adrian?
Yes, sir.
An article did appear in the newspapers covering this incident.
The next day.
That article was not picked up by any of the wire services or what?
Yes, I called the Associated Press sometime around 11:15, 11:30 that night, the Detroit Bureau.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And gave them quite a story on what I had seen, what I thought I had seen, and at least the Michigan branch out of the Detroit Bureau, the AP carried a story the next day. How much of it was picked up on a trunk wire, I don't know.
I see. Mm-hmm. We didn't receive any reports of this incident in Detroit, in any of the Detroit newspapers. Do you have any information that you would like to give, personally, as to the site?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I haven't the slightest idea of what I saw. I'm thoroughly convinced that I saw a definite light pattern. I'm sure that it wasn't a reflection. I'm sure that it wasn't a star or a meteor. I'm deadly positive that I have never seen any aircraft in the sky which at night which resembled it. There was no shape or form as far as I could tell. It was simply a light that behaved very, very strangely as far as anything I'd ever seen before.
Could you compare this light, for example, to a dime or a nickel or half a dollar or something like that, in comparison of size?
Well, it would be closer to a dime than anything else. At one point, just as we turned around, when our car turned around, when we first saw the light, was pointed out to us from the other patrol car by radio, it passed the lower whole third of the full moon, which was coming up in the east. We were traveling west, and we turned around and started back east at the direction from the other patrol car. And the light crossed the lower third of the moon. Still, with the full moon behind it, there was no shape. In other words, it wasn't like an airplane would be, would it cross a full moon or cross a portion of the moon from your line of vision. But the brilliant point of that light stood out in the face of the moon, even though the moon was behind it, and it was a full moon.
Then you would say that this object was definitely self-luminous.
Oh, definitely, yes. I got the impression of this light. I didn't hear what Gordon said or anybody else, but I got the impression that the darn thing was more pulsing than blinking.
Would you say that in the course of its travel, that it changed directions
sky are coming down. We did not ourselves observe it traveling west. All of the travel that we saw was east and northeast. But from one of the other deputies, who I have complete confidence in, said that he saw it before we did, that it was traveling west at that time.
Southwest or northwest?
Well, as he first saw it, it would be traveling northwest.
Did this object appear solid to you, or did it appear as only a source of light?
I'm afraid I couldn't answer that question other than to say it seemed to be a point of light, but I didn't see any shape or form, any solid object or matter of any kind that I could identify.
You followed this thing in a car.
I was with Deputy Roger Tom.
At any time, did this thing, was it going away from you all the time, or did it at any time come towards you at all?
Well, it came towards us when we first observed it, because we were traveling west of town looking for it, and it was coming northeast at that time, so we were, it must have crossed, we didn't have to see it, but it must have crossed our the top of our cars.
Well, we established whether this object was standing still at any time.
It appeared to stand still to me on, I'd say, three or four different occasions, yes.
Three or four different occasions. Did it give off any smoke or trail of any kind?
Not that I could see, no. There was a patch of red mist or fog, but in my mind, at least, I associated it with a display of northern lights, which was brief but quite brilliant.
We had heard a report from a witness who stated that he saw this object, and this witness is from Detroit, and he stated to us that he observed this object very close to the ground, and that when he first came in contact with it, he noticed several cars stopped alongside the road, and that he was forced to stop because his engine stopped, as did all of the others, and that he and several other people, quite a few as a matter of fact, witnessed this object in a field very, very close to the ground. Now, you have knowledge of anyone else who might have been a witness to this same event?
This is on the night of November
6th. This was reported as November 7th. Must have been the evening of November 7th.
I'm not sure whether it was on the 7th or whether he contacted us.
No, it was definitely reported on the
It was.
November 7th. Well, he said there were supposedly two newspaper reporters there.
Well, I was the only one from our staff on this particular night that Deputy Rogers met. And to my knowledge, I hadn't heard of any other. I've talked with the Hillsdale Daily News, I've talked with the Jackson Patriot, the Ann Arbor News, and the Monroe News, all of which are immediately surrounding the area.
This is a rumor. We would just like to get the,
I don't know my own knowledge of anybody seeing
it. See, the thing is, we get reports of this type, and unless we can contact the gentleman directly, which at this time we were unable to do, we don't want to verify these reports, because in the past, reports of this type have often been extremely misleading, and some people tend to stretch their imaginations a little bit.
Well, it was about a week ago, a week and a half ago, I was on the radio in Monroe, and I'll take it back, Ann Arbor sent their car up to a local hill in around the area somewhere, I don't know where it was. Stated that they had a report of a light out there. And for them to take a look at it, let them know. They called back in. He says, all right, I'll call the observatory at Ann Arbor and have a look at it to their telescope. And that's where it ended right there. Now, whether that amounted to anything or not, I don't know.
You didn't get any reports of...
No, I just was over the police radio.
Yeah.
In other words, we can hear Ann Arbor dispatcher give it to the cars.
Yes.
And they gave it to the car to go out on this particular area south of town or something and look at this light in the sky and... Apparently, the man called back in the car and he says, all right, I'll call the observatory and have a look at it. after Dan Arbor had this broadcast and said he called the same thing that we did from Manitow Beach in Dayton.
You don't know who this gentleman was?
No, we didn't.
Well, I think that we have pretty well covered the material. Now, Al, do you have something more that you would like to add?
Someone stated at one time that you were outside of the car observing this thing.
We were all, Mr. Stewart, the prosecutor, assistant prosecutor, my partner, and I were all out of the car after we left here and gone west, almost to the Clayton Road, as we were talking to Mr. Lentz and the fellow was in his car, the other officer was in his car. And they were the ones that got us there in where the item was. And we followed from there.
At any time, was there an indication of any type of a sound or anything from this?
Not that either, was it? One, wasn't 1 ounce of sound. Of course, we were in the closed car, too. But then when we were outside of the car, east of Deerfield, and down near the Clayton, I never heard some of the close man, but I didn't.
If it was an airplane, would you have been close enough to hear the sound of an airplane? The approximate distance that you were...
I believe that when we first were zeroed in on to where the object was, that we were close enough to be able to do it if there was one. Traveling in the car, no. And I wouldn't say that when we were at Deerfield.
No, when we were at Deerfield, it was pretty far ahead of us. Right. Yeah, it off distance. Off distance, that's the time it got to Deerfield.
I wouldn't say that you'd be able to hear a sound. I do know that you can't hear an airplane engine. If it's, just south and north of it, even if it's hiding here. But there was no sound for this thing at all.
One question I would like to ask here before we run out of tape on this particular track. Would you care to give your permission for this information to be released to the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena? If you don't, we'll keep this strictly in confidence, or we can destroy the tape, as you wish.
That's a civilian group doing the investigation work on unidentified objects in the headquarters of Washington.
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you, as far as I'm concerned, I've never believed in any of it. I've always figured that the United States had something that they were working with, and just I've never told anybody. I still can't believe what I saw up there. To me, it was, Baldy here thinks a little bit different than I do, but to me it resembled a hell of a big star and brilliance and everything else.
Well, the reason
I wouldn't say it was any man-made thing, and maybe it wasn't, I don't have the slightest idea.
Well, may we send this information to Washington?
As far as I'm concerned, it's perfectly all right.
Well, we know that the National Investigations Committee is a very responsible organization. It is directed by Major Donald E. Kehoe, United States Marine Corps retired, and he has done extensive work in research on unidentified flying objects, and he's also published a good deal of material on that subject, and we would like your permission to send this information to him.
Perfectly all right to me, sir. Before that thing runs off, we did have a complaint here one night. It was never verified, but the Steve Trent, I believe it was, or what's the other fellow works out there? It's got something to do with the speech thing that they have around town.
Oh,
Carnegie, Dale Carnegie, from out the radio station. Keith Roper.
Oh.
Keith Roper called the jail here one night and said that a farmer had fallen in from Mount Manitow Beach and said there was a flying saucer sitting by his chicken coop. He wanted to go with us, but we wouldn't take him with us. We went out there, we never did find the farmer twice.
Is this particular farmer familiar with any written material or literature?
I remember this last time I did the idea because we didn't even find him. He was supposed to have a horse light on, he never even brought a horse light. We went back to one farmer's place and looked behind his chicken coop, but I didn't, there was nothing back there.
Is the particular farmer complaining that he's seeing the chickens? No, he never did this anymore.
But he bought us not even going out there. But we had been out there. We drove off down that road for better than an hour and a half. Trying to look for somebody, that would be expecting us to come along. I have flown in airplanes at night, military aircraft and so forth. And I have left planes at night flying. I've been around the station on the airfield for better than 3 years, where planes come in with their landing. It definitely wasn't, when I said blink before, I didn't mean blink. always like that particular form of lights because there's a hesitation between when this light goes out, this one comes on, and this one comes back on again. There was no, it was, as Baldy says, as far as I'm concerned, it was a false, pulsating light that would resemble a heart beating, yes. I never saw this telegram, but I never tied the two together, or this television program. I hadn't seen that, so I didn't tie the two together.
Were there any known aircraft in the vicinity at that time, to your knowledge?
Well, you know, that was kind of a funny thing, because I kept trying to tell myself that that's what it must be. Possibly a helicopter. That was what kept entering my mind because of the elevator motion, the up and down motion. And so I think I was looking all the time for an airplane. But to my knowledge, there wasn't a thing all over earlier in the evening I had seen a plane in the sky.
Well, didn't, when we were down in Deerfield, didn't you think we saw an airplane in the sky that was after the we called in SDL?
It was after we lost track of the light.
After we lost track of the light, there seemed to be a plane in there.
Because we wondered if it was something that had been set up to check into it. It was the same general area of the sky.
Was it, would you know whether it was a jet?
No, I wouldn't be able to identify it as a jet.
Although there was some sound of that airplane, and it was a considerable distance away, which leads me to believe that if there had been any sound of this thing we'd seen, we'd have heard it. Gordon answered questions that he didn't hear, and I certainly did, and I was trying to.
Lyle, do you have anything that you'd like to add?
No, I believe it's been pretty well covered. Covered, sir.
Yeah. What about you?
At any time, would you say that you noticed that this change of color had any relation to the speed of the object?
So you would control the speed?
No. As if the change of color was, say, an after effect of the change in speed?
No. In fact, there was absolutely no correlation between the light, the different shades, colors, and the movements of the object, at least that I could see at the time I was watching. Didn't seem, there was no pattern to begin with. It wasn't red, green, white, or red, green, white. It was red, maybe red, and then green, and white, and green, white, red, green. I mean, there was just no given pattern that I could determine or that any of us could.
On that particular evening, was there any report at any time of interference to local radio stations or perhaps any television that people in the area might have been observing?
Not to my knowledge.
And I think if there would have been any interference with television, we'd have heard about it because we got a ham operator down here that screws them all up and the people holler about it constantly. So I don't know any reports of that thing. There was no interference with the police radio whatsoever.
No,
not really. There wasn't any more than what is normal. Static, and you just squelch the knock off. There wasn't any change in that at all.
Well, could anybody elaborate a little bit more on the flight pattern of this thing? Was it a jerking motion or smooth or?
All that I observed, it was very smooth.
In other words, almost like a gliding effect.
Yes.
As far as the speed, should it go as fast, would you say, as a conventional fighter jet?
Most of the time I was conscious of how slow it was going, rather than how fast. The fact that if you wondered how it stayed afloat, it stayed in the air because it was going so slow. That's why I tried to associate with a helicopter. But the only type of craft I knew of was the Jupiter.
Did this thing at any time, we're going to go back to the same thing, appear to, maybe this is kind of far-fetched, but it did appear to be evading you at any time?
I wasn't conscious of evading us, no. Anything we did didn't seem to make a difference to it.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I couldn't see any. Could you, Gordon?
Well, I think I and Smitty seen it at a little different angle than the rest of them did.
when we first got it, it was considerably lower than when you thought it.
Mm-hmm.
And we noticed that there were cadmus, as I told these gentlemen before, it was considerably lower, as I described it, and I think Smitty went along with the same thing, that it looked to be about the length and just about the same thing as a radio tower with a red light on top of it. And then it took off through the southwest. And then as Hudson picked it up, they had told us that it had cut back and was coming back our way. Well, when we was following it, it was south of M-34. And when we picked it up again, it was north of M-34, coming back this way.
Would you care to make any estimation of perhaps the probable number of people in Adrian who might have witnessed this?
I wouldn't have any idea myself.
I wouldn't have any idea because the radios had jammed up that night. Everybody was talking.
You didn't see people out on the street in town watching it, that sort of thing?
Well, I was in the front seat of the patrol car, and I was trying to keep my eye on things to keep going in the direction. I don't remember. When we came through town, I didn't bother to look to see what everybody was looking at. Yeah.
Would you say that this was definitely well-known all over town?
No, I wouldn't say it was well-known.
You mean on the night that it happened?
Either that night or the previous night.
You mean the
night? I don't mean the previous night. Excuse me. The succeeding night after the newspaper.
I've taken an awful beating about this thing, as you well imagine. Some experience along that line yourself here. But I would say that there are anyway a minimum of 30 different people have talked to me, and since the thing has happened,
you know,
and said they saw this or saw that themselves, and of course, the radio was carrying a running account of it, and anybody had the local radio station.
Well, the local radio station was carrying a running account. During the actual observation, was it?
I think it was Tate, wasn't it?
That part of it, I don't swear to
it. He was one of the...
He was with Nate Pagan's. Yeah, Officer Pagan's and Adrian Police Department. Now, whether they were taping it or not, I don't know.
Well, I know that when I got back...
I believe that that was taken from Al Hope's gas station. That was taken in a telephone recording.
Oh, telephone recording.
Yeah.
Now, when I got back to the house, I know my wife immediately wanted to know where the H I'd been, of course. What I've been doing, and I said, well, if I start to tell you, you'll think... then I told her, and she said, oh, yeah, I've been listening to that on the radio. And that was the first hint I had. So then she said that every so often they were breaking in with news bulletins on where the darn thing was now and what it was doing. So I suspect that a lot of people that probably wouldn't have had any first-hand knowledge of it did pick it up in those radio broadcasts during the evening would have known something about it through that medium.
I think Al Coates, I won't swear to it, but I think my partner told me that Al Coates' daughter saw the same night, about the same time that you fell asleep.
Yeah.
And she was watching him call her father.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came out to see it, if I remember right, it was down behind the trees or something was in the way he couldn't see it.
That's the first way that it appeared to Ian Smith out there at McCaffrey's. Of course, that would be his solid Coates. That it appeared to us when we first looked at it, and it said just like it was a radio tower standing there, and we all know there's none there. And we just sort of let it stand still.
Well, I'd say there were easily 30 people that told me that they saw it, but whether they did or not,
well, I think we've fairly well covered the information, and I'm just going to say thank you very much, gentlemen, for this interview. And at this time, I would also like to have you step up to the microphone and give your name, occupation, any other information of that type that you might care to add.
Well, my name is Walter Stewart. I'm the county editor of the newspaper here in Adrian, the Adrian Telegram. I had 5 years service in the Marine Corps during World War II. I'm in a retired reserve now. And I think that I have a little bit of knowledge of flying objects from having been in service that way. I did quite a considerable amount of flying. But this is the first time I had ever seen anything of this nature. I'm kind of like Gordon. I was strictly ballyhooing the whole thing until this particular night came on.
Mr. Rogers?
My name is Gordon Rogers, Deputy Sheriff of Monoma County. I've had quite a bit of military service, and I don't ever remember seeing anything in a service that resembled this particular item, and I've done quite a bit of flying also.
My name is Lyle Letts, ambulance driver for the Average Funeral Home, Adrian, Michigan.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your cooperation in this interview.